Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another broadcast. Of course, I'm Pastor or Rabbi John Wilson Atkins, and I am so excited. This is today, if I have my dates correct, is January the 24th. Of course, it's Sunday afternoon. And we are talking about, and we're going to continue to build you up in understanding the Father's love. We all need to understand and know the Father's love so that we can apply that self-same love to ourselves and to others. Now, I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Steve Foreman. And before we get started, Steve, what I want to do is to kind of follow the narrative that we have been following, and that is first, get this episode, which is episode 6, get this blessed by God and blessed through Pastor Doug. He's going to be doing our Before Torah blessing at this time. Pastor Doug?
Ruach Ata Yehua Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kishanu BeMitzvotav Yitzchanu LaAsot BeDivrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Hallelujah. We received that. So, Father, I'm going to pray as well. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the fulfillment. We thank you for who you are. We are in a mode of exalting your name and exalting you as our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Confidant, the one that comes and comes alongside us, the Paraclete. We thank you for the glory. We thank you for the anointing. We are in a state of thankfulness because you loved us first, and you've done the greatest blessing that we could have, and that is to redeem us, not just to create us, but to redeem us from a fallen state. And because of that, we thank you, and we say, Father, forgive us for our sins, our iniquities and transgressions. Forgive us for our downtroddenness and for just our debauched state that we have found ourselves in. We thank you for your soul. We thank you for the blood. We thank you that it helps to purify and to cultivate and to bring us back to the righteous and holy state. And we accept that right now. We accept that the sins, the iniquities and the transgressions upon ourselves, Father, we thank you that you forgive us. And Father, we choose when we make a quality decision to forgive ourselves and to forgive those who have sinned against us, causing iniquity and transgression against us as well. We thank you for fulfilling your purpose in our lives. We thank you, Father God, for that. We ask that you, who are beyond this broadcast, that the anointing, that the flow, and that the leading, the unction, to function in the manner in which you desire for us to function also. We submit that to you. We give it to you, and we allow you to guide us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the words. Thank you for the anointing on those words. We bless you right now, Yah, in Yahushua's name. Amen and amen. Well, Mr. Steve, I'm going to go ahead and give us a quick recap. And that recap has been from learning things about you that most of us didn't know, to getting the chance to learn and understand the things about our Heavenly Father, the way he deals with us, the way he disciplines us. We've talked about that. The way he loves us through the things that we have to understand about him as he is getting us to understand about ourselves. Oftentimes, we don't even know the shallowness of our own heart. We don't know the depth of evil that has infiltrated our heart. And we talked about how that plays a part in us as fathers. And this particular broadcast, because we talked about the prodigal son one of the last broadcasts. This one, I want to talk about, and I feel led of the Spirit for you and I to talk about the Father's sacrifice. The sacrifice as fathers. First of all, as our Heavenly Father, we're going to talk about that. But then we're going to talk about the natural sacrifices that us as fathers have had to do in our life. And I really believe that this is an important broadcast for this season, for this time. And it's a very familiar reference scripture that I'd like for you to read. And then let's go into that. And that is John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. And, of course, I'd love to hear it in the King James and the Amplified. But John chapter 3, verse 16. If you would, sir, and then just comment on the sacrifice of the Heavenly Father, and then we'll just start to go from there and transition into our own experiences of sacrifices that we've had to do for our children and for our wives, and what that meant and how that affected us as well as them, but especially us. I'll pass it to you now.
Rabbi, was that chapter 3, what was the verse? I'm sorry.
Verse 16.
Verse 16, yes, sir.
The book
yes.
of John, Gospel of John.
Yes. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified. And that is, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life."
Amen. Now,
I believe that
his one and only begotten Son. Now, we know that he created Adam. We know that we all are his sons and daughters. But it said, and what you read was, his one and only begotten Son. And I really felt by the Spirit I needed to interject a couple of words in there so that it would make more sense to us. Instead of just saying his only begotten Son, it would be more appropriate if it were to say his only begotten of a woman or a virgin Son. And that doesn't discredit the scripture. It actually references and verifies exactly which son we're talking about. We talked about having a conversation with King David and telling King David that he was going to adopt Solomon as his son, and he was going to father Solomon. But now we're talking about something more dear and very close to a father's heart, and that is a son that was created through the espousal of and the birth of a woman. So our Heavenly Father is not exempt from experiencing that, because the Holy Spirit, we know, it brooded over Mary. And Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit of the Father. And so now the Father can say, just like every other man, every other natural man has the same aspect of understanding of this as so does also our Heavenly Father. When he says, one begotten of a virgin, one begotten of a woman. Would love to hear your thoughts on that, Mr. Steve.
Well, it's critical to understand that relationship between the Heavenly Father and the earthly mother of Jesus. And, of course, we can go back and talk about the chromosomes that are required and the fact that in a normal situation you'd have the 23 that would be given, 23 chromosomes that would be given by the father, and 23 chromosomes that would be given by the mother. And we know that the Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit actually brought the chromosomes to Mary and placed those chromosomes in the egg that was forming inside of her. And it is critical to think about that it was truly a miracle. And of course, Jesus brought very many miracles into the earth. And it's so understanding of to understand the scriptures about a only begotten son. I want to just share this story with you. I wanted a son so badly. When my wife and I had, we'd been married for almost 5 years and no children. So we had pretty much given up on having children, and we thought we would adopt a child. But lo and behold, as soon as we got ready to adopt, as soon as we were getting everything ready for the adoption and everything, my beautiful wife, Janet, became pregnant. And so that just flipped the table over. So we had to start anew in our thinking. We praise the Lord for giving us a child. And as our firstborn developed, we gave praise and worshiped God. And lo and behold, the son that I wanted so badly came. And I'll never forget me singing around the house. The Stevie Wonder hit at that time was, "You are the apple of my eye." Oh, yeah. And that's how I felt. This child, this newborn, was the apple of my eye. I couldn't see past him. He just was everything to me. And so that's how Jesus was to our Heavenly Father. He was the apple of his eye. And to think that he was going to give up that child, killed on a cross, blood shed, spear inside, mocked. How could you think of it? I couldn't possibly think of giving my son up to that. I think I would want to die first. But to give up a child, the firstborn, the only begotten, is very difficult thought. I in my mortal mind can't comprehend that gift of a child. But that's how much our Heavenly Father loved us. And my wife, my beautiful wife, Janet, she was a good mother. She is a good mother. And yet, lo and behold, that son became more important even than my beautiful wife. I won't say I worshiped my son, but I certainly felt enamored in every way by him. So it's hard for me to imagine a situation where someone would come to me and say, "It's time. It's time to save the world by giving up your firstborn, your only born son." So I can certainly understand, and I can certainly feel the deep, deep hurt and the sadness of the Heavenly Father, knowing that his only begotten son was going to be given up to these savages, to pig on the cross. There was a symbol that the whole world was going to watch as these pigs were running around the cross, and the only begotten son was hanging on the cross, and there the pigs all around him. And he had to go through that. He had to be slaughtered for you and for me. We got to grasp that today. That was done for you and for me. None of this would have mattered. None of this would have happened today. We could have gone on in death. We could have gone to hell. But for our Heavenly Father loving us so much that he was able to give up his only begotten Son. And that as Jesus died on the cross, the Heavenly Father opened up a door to salvation for all of us, for all of mankind. And I can't believe it, but I receive it. And I want to thank Father God forever for this road to salvation, eternal life. Through the death of his Son on the cross. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Praise your holy name. Rabbi, I'm going to hand it back to you. I'm getting emotional here. I think I'm going to have to pray a little bit.
I totally understand because I tell you, sir, there's no emotion. There's no emotion that our Heavenly Father has not felt. There's no emotion that we can look at our Heavenly Father and says, you don't understand how I feel. Because our Heavenly Father has become like us and had to reject his only begotten Son. When he was on the cross, when you were sharing, I thought about Yeshua on the cross. And I thought about that was the time that Yeshua, with such a loving relationship that he had, such a loyal relationship that he had, such a covenantal relationship that he had with the Father, the Heavenly Father. And he looked up and the Father had turned his back on his own Son. And not because he wanted to, but because there was the sin of the whole world, only begotten Son, and therefore he could not look upon his Son. And he turned his back, first time ever that he ever had to turn his back on his own Son. I'm reminded of a situation that I briefly shared, where my oldest had gotten so influenced by his friends to where I had to discipline him in a way that was causing him to sense and to feel that his father, me, had turned my back on my own Son. And in actuality, like God, I turned my back on my Son. Mr. Steve, I had to turn my back on the actions that had influenced my Son and the behaviors that were manifesting through my Son that my Son knew and I knew were not indicative to the relationship between me and my Son. It was as if something else had entered and began to possess my Son. Because the character of my Son was no longer visible in my eyes at that time. The Heavenly Father even knows what that means. Turn his back on his own Son. And in turning his back, his Son felt the remorse and the grief and as well as the pain and the agony of sin, iniquity, and transgression of the whole world. and all because he was called to this great purpose. Not because he sinned, but he was cut off because of our sin. I'm reminded, if you could get this for me, Mr. Steve, I'm reminded of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, I believe it is. And it talks about the Messiah, and it talks about the fact that he was cut off. But then it makes a statement. It says, but not of himself. In other words, it wasn't anything that he did. He was cut off because of what we did. Because of what I did. Because of what I have become. That's why he was cut off. And that's Daniel chapter 9. And I'm pretty sure it's verse 25. If you have it, if you could go ahead and read that for us, Mr. Steve.
I'll be reading out of the Amplified. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his hand influence. He will magnify himself in his mind. He will corrupt and destroy many who enjoy a false sense of security. He will also stand up and oppose the Prince of Princes. But he will be broken. And that by no human hand, but by the hand of God.
Okay, I'll try verse 26, because it might be verse 26. Because that one sounds like the adversary.
The vision of the evenings and the mornings, which has been told to you, is true.
Yeah, that's Daniel. That's correct. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25 and 26.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's verse 24. So,
his power will be mighty.
In that.
That's right. Is this it? I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. And he will corrupt and destroy in an astonishing manner. And he will prosper and do exactly as he wills. He shall corrupt and destroy mighty men and the holy people.
Okay, and that's Daniel chapter 9.
I'm sorry. Maybe I've read the wrong verses. Let me try this one. 70 weeks of years, or 490 years, have been decreed for your people and for your holy city, Jerusalem.
Yes, sir. Don't keep going to.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again. And the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the corresponding of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now that's from the King James. Now I'm going to read that same again. in the Amplified.
You did read what I was looking for, just so you know. When you read and said that he would be cut off, but not from himself, that's the
okay.
prophecy about the Messiah. That was the one.
Yes. Yes. I understand that. You know, the Messiah did everything he could to please his Father. I mean, he did everything he could possibly do to be right and to be righteous and to be everything that his Father wanted to be the apple of his Father's eye. He tried to do everything that he possibly could to do that. And what happens to him? He ends up being thrown onto a cross, deserted by his Father. After he'd spent his life on earth trying to do everything that he could for his Heavenly Father, and then to be turned upon, his Father turned his back on him, just like as if he were a sinner, just like as if he were a thief on a cross. The worst possible death that he could think of, to die on a cross, was what was given to this son who did everything he could to serve his Father and be righteous, to be the apple of his Father's eye, and then have his Father just turn away as if his son were nothing but a lowly pig. How could he do that? How could he do that? How could I do that? I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could possibly give up my son, who'd done everything he could to please me, who'd done everything he could to be righteous on this earth, and then to be asked to give him up, and not only that, to be have him treated worse than we can possibly think of today. But to die on a cross was the worst possible thing that you could think of. A murderer could not be worse. How could his Father do that? Rabbi, you can help me with this, please. It's really getting to me and to my heart, because I love my son, and I love Jesus, and I love Father God, and yet it's just really hard to understand what happened, and really hard to understand how it could come that way, that his son could be given up that way. But praise God that he was. We have eternal life now. We have eternal life because the Heavenly Father saw that the only way he could make things right with man was to give his son to die as a sacrifice for our sins. Now we can have eternal life. That's the only way to understand it, is to understand that there was the ultimate sacrifice that the Heavenly Father had to make. Now I begin to understand that I had to give up my firstborn son to save mankind, to give mankind a chance at eternal life. That's the only way you can understand it, is that this sacrifice had to be complete. It couldn't be just a little sacrifice. It couldn't be even a man-imagined sacrifice. It had to be the ultimate sacrifice. Praise God, the sacrifice was made. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yah. Thank you, Yah, that you gave up your son. Praise you, Yah. Praise you, Yah. Praise you, Yah, for eternal life. Praise you, Yah, that I can have my son.
I like what you're saying. That praise is because he loved us corporately as much or more than his only begotten son. He loved us as much or more. Because he, knowing that his son would do whatever it took to please his father, he asked the ultimate sacrifice, his ultimate sacrifice. Although his son was the one that sacrificed, that sacrifice, the totality of the sacrifice, was the father's. The totality of the sacrifice was a heavenly bear. If anybody says, well, you know, what does a father, God, have to bear? He doesn't bear any burden. Oh, my goodness, they are so mad. Our heavenly great any is the greatest. Oil.
No, Rabbi, I know we were going to talk about the characteristics of a father, and surely one of them has to be that he loves his children.
And that is what this is about.
Yes.
What this is about is how much to my child. Comes with the territory. From that pain. He's not exempt from any of it. The thing that is so ironic about it is to do this. All the choices of the way to redeem man back to him. Indicative of the immense love, being on the creation and creating. No knowledge of love the world. That's literally saying that I love you so much more
than my
obedient, loyal, trustworthy son
that
I gave. Gave him our worst. The worst sides of us, and the disobedient sides of us, the rebellious sides of us, you know, the fickle sides of us. Yeah, and right, and then all of a sudden there are times where we just boom, fall in the sand. All of those different sides of us that are not more glamorous than the other, because it's all bad. He loved us even in our worst state of being. obedient son, never done anything wrong, always fulfilling my will instead of your will.
And Yeshua, that son had to trust that the Father would raise him from the dead. There was no guarantee other than the Father's word. There was no guarantee. So Yeshua submits himself to this for us.
I tell you what,
Mr. Steve, this is, like you said, it's emotional. For those
fathers out there, for those parents out there that have lost, you understand.
You got a better understanding of how great we'll definitely have to say that this would be a burden that would be too impossible for me to bear. Or to carry on. The fact that Abraham was in the attempting state of carrying out this very act caused God to love him and he gave it.
Same stature.
Because only Abraham had the same reflective emotion going through his body, his life, as God himself, a wonder. You know, we talk about the seven of the eight wonders of the world. This is the one and only wonder that exceeds all wonders of the world or that can be ever found in the world. And that's the reason why it's such an impossibility, such an intangible
that you can't comprehend. Because he wants you to know just how valuable you are.
Just how valuable I am. Not just to the kingdom or for the purpose of that he has me for, but for the relationship that he desires with me. He's the one that's promoting this relationship so much more than whatever I could do. Mr. Steve, have you ever thought along these lines that our Heavenly Father so valued our and your relationship, even in your fallen state, that he'd be willing to allow your, you to be heirs with Yeshua and for Yeshua himself so that a part of his inheritance would be our inheritance. Could you comment on that, please?
Yes, Rabbi. When I was growing up, I didn't have a father. I didn't have an earthly father. My earthly father died when I was just 1 year old. So I struggled with not having a father. And yet when I was in church, when I began to hear about the Father loving us, I felt the love. I felt the love of a father like never before. And as far as claiming an inheritance, I began to walk with God. Even as I went about my daily life, I realized that I had Jesus in my heart. That Jesus had come into my heart. that one thing that I've gotten out of all this is the inheritance of his son into my heart, carried with me daily, minute by minute, knowing that if I did wrong, I'd know it. And if I did right, I'd feel it. And now, as I grow old, and as I begin to realize that my days are numbered, I also realize that I still have Jesus in my heart, that he's still there with me. When I know that someday I'm going to go on and I'm going to inherit everything that God has given to his earthly children, I'm going to get that. I'm going to sit there and praise God because I'm going to be a part of the inheritance. I'm going to feel the love and the joy and the warmth that is Christ. You only know it when you get it. I got it when I was 9 years old, and it just came to me, and it was so overwhelming. I mean, I cried, and I felt warmth, and I felt like I'd come to a new way of living and a new life. And I had. I had a new life. And I, at that moment, inherited everything that God had for me and for all the earthly children. I got a piece of it. Jesus in my heart. And that's open to you today, and it's open to everyone today to have Jesus in your heart. And someday you're going to have the opportunity to lay you down everything in front of your Father, your Heavenly Father, and pick up the inheritance that he has for you. Eternal life. You're going to never die. Your body might go, but your spirit will not go. Because you belong to Jesus. And that's the eternal inheritance, to be taken by Jesus, to become part of the kingdom. And each one of you have a chance to be a part of the kingdom and of Jesus' love. That's to live with his love day to day is like being in heaven. You can take that today. So things are going to come at you. There's still evil out there, and there's going to be some times when you feel weak. But just remember, you have Jesus in your heart, and that's what you got from the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit gave Mary life, the Holy Spirit can give you life in your spirit. Fill you up, make you complete, so that you too will have eternal life. No oblation, no burning in hell, none of that for you. Eternal life and joy and praise and everything that Jesus would have for any other child he has for you. Welcome him into your heart. Begin to ask forgiveness for your sins. And begin to ask Jesus to become a part of you and come into your heart, and he will. And you'll start to feel the inheritance. You'll start to feel rich. You'll start to feel powerful. Not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. Power of God's love. There for you. That's an inheritance for you. Everything that God planned to bring back the kingdom, and offer it up to you as a sinner, that's open to you. Even though we sin, we have forgiveness. And even though we'll give up our earthly body, we'll inherit the earth. We'll inherit a new earth. A new earth in the name of Jesus. Kingdom for all the believers. I just feel like I'm just rich today. I don't care about the lottery. I got the lottery in my heart. I don't need anything else. You can have that too. So don't give up on yourself and don't give up on your children. And remember that as God loved his only begotten son, you love your children. And you don't have to give up a child to get the reward. All you have to do is just give up that earthly will and become a part of the kingdom way. And that's Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Forgive us of our sins, even this day. Let us know Jesus, even this day. Let your Holy Spirit come into our lives, even this day. That we would feel the inheritance, so we know the inheritance that is you. That's what we have. That's what God intends for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. And Yeshua, I just want to come before you and kneel and ask forgiveness for all the references I made to pigs today. But I just wanted people to understand that the lowest thing that you could think of at that day, during that day, was a pig. And to have his only begotten son, who strived to do everything that his father would be proud of him for, got treated like that. But forgive me for using those terms about your only begotten son. And I know you understand my heart. But I want the people out there in radio land to understand that I need to know that I'm in one spirit with God. So I'm just asking forgiveness for the references I made to pigs today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Steve, for that. If you've heard children, there's nothing that our Heavenly Father hasn't also. We so often connect the physical infirmity with Bruce. You know that from Isaiah. But to think that our Heavenly Father, the Creator, could ever feel all of these different negative adjectives pertaining to what we feel. that it was God who chose. It was his quality decision. And it was him who chose to do that. So that you and I, another, this pain of sacrifice. God is truly an emotional concept to endure. But hopefully that will help you and I to relate with the type of love that we need to reciprocate back to God. We have to give it our all. Because he has shown, surely given all. At this time, we're going to conclude. And I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you. The closing prayer by Pastor Doug. And then if you could, after that, and I'll clue you back in again as well. Clue you back in. If you could, after. Get more information about us. So, Pastor Doug, I'll pass it to you for the after Torah blessing at this time.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Natan Manu Toret Emet Vachaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Yes, absolutely. I'd like to thank you for joining us today, understanding the Father's love. We're glad that you've taken the time to engage in the study of Yah's Word. We encourage you to study these things as Bereans and see if these things are true. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem, Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, if you don't mind emailing us at office@bethhashem.org, to find out more about us, please visit our website at www.bethhashem.org. That's BETHHASHEM.org. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college is Zaka University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies at courses.bethhashem.org. If you would like to make a donation to this ministry, you can make a contribution via Cash App at http://www.cash.app/$BethHashem or mail your donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina 27704. And for those of you who have generously given, we certainly give a hearty thank you. And if I could pass it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Thank you, sir. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. Sometimes verbalize how much he talks about that your own. Also, more importantly, that you as a father, the only is not any way, shape, form, or fashion afraid to feel the pain of loss of the whole world. He almost but now that you strengthen us and you and but the thank you to give you is our action. Never designed. So with that, Father, I pray you to glorify you. And I do say, and so be it unto us to fulfill the redemptive work and to finish the redemptive work that you started through your only begotten of a virgin son. And until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.